Thank you very much. Well, I guess we'll get started. Since we got the full house here and all the seats are full, we better start preaching because all these people might leave if we don't start preaching, right? Well, thank you, Lord. We just thank you, Lord, that you direct our steps, that your words are heard, your open hearts are open to what you have to say to us today. And we just thank you for your direction. Thank you for the wisdom that you'll give us tonight. Amen?
Yeah.
Well, my message is glorifying God. And I know that ultimately I'm going to get around to how we glorify God through our prayers. I'm going to start off this because it's a kind of an abiding message, because the real meat here about the prayer is right in the middle of the abiding. So another title for this might be glorifying God through abiding. I think I'll start off with, what is the definition of glory? If we're going to say we're going to glorify God, what is it that he gets? Okay. If we give glory to God, we're giving praise, we're giving honor, we're giving distinction extended by common consent. Worshipful praise, honor, thanksgiving. Something that secures praise or renown. Glory is great beauty and splendor. So God is glorious whether we give it to him or not. But just remember that he created us to glorify him, right? Okay. Something marked by beauty, the splendor in it just means beautiful, whatever, but happiness of heaven. A state of great gratification or exaltation. A height of prosperity or achievement. See, if we think about God's glory, we can say that, well, part of that glory is displayed in his creation. And he called man his greatest creation at that point. The height of prosperity or achievement. This was a great achievement God accomplished. Okay, I think that's probably enough definition there. That's kind of out of the Webster's Dictionary. If we go to, the other part of the message was glorifying God through abiding. So what does abide mean? To wait for? To endure without yielding, withstand, to bear patiently, tolerate, to accept without objection, to remain stable or fixed in a state, to continue in a place, sojourn, continue. So that when we're talking about abiding, that you'll have a little bit of an idea of what that means. Okay. Now, the words in the Bible of glory. In the Old Testament, one of the main words is Strong's number 3513. Permanent root to be heavy. And that can be in a bad or a good sense. In a good sense, it's numerous, rich, honorable, to make weighty. And I found it very helpful, too, to sometimes go through a few scriptures and see how the word is used in scripture so we get a better idea of what it means in there. Okay. One of the first places it's used is Exodus 14:4. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will pursue them. And he's talking about the children of God who are being freed from Egypt. But I will gain glory for myself through Pharaoh, and all his army and the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. So the Israelites did this. Okay, God's did gain glory through the hardening of Pharaoh's heart. And why was that? Can anybody answer why God got glory from the Pharaoh? Okay. So if we're talking about God receiving something, he's gaining respect for this act that because Pharaoh resisted the Lord revealed himself, and God gained respect. All of a sudden, people are paying attention to God because of the situation. And you might say that people started talking about God, started glorifying him by their words, saying, this is a great God who did these things, okay? Now, if you're on the wrong side of the stream, of course, it can seem like a negative thing, right? Okay. Another example of where this word is used, Genesis 13:2. Abraham became very wealthy in livestock and in silver and in gold. The word wealthy there is the 35:13, which is heavy, glory, became very glorious. Another place, Genesis 18:20. Then the Lord said, the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is so great, and their sin is so grievous. Okay, there's another place where that word is used. Heavy. Okay, heavy. You know, it's another case where, you know, when the Lord's people are crying out to God, and there's a reason for it, a real reason, you know, we also got the promise that God listens to these situations. Okay? Another word that is sometimes translated glory is Strong's number 142. Okay? Primary root to expand, be great, or magnificent. One of the places that this word is used, Exodus 15:11-12. Who among the gods is like you, O Lord? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glory, working wonders? That word glory is that word there, 142. You stretched out your right hand, and the earth swallowed them. Exodus 16:7. And in the morning you will see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your grumbling against him. Who are we that you should grumble against us? The glory of the Lord at that time was going to cause people again to give God respect. We should be crawling out for his glory for the good part, not so that we have to bow down to him, but so that we can be his glory. Because you can understand, you put yourself on the right side of the line here, then it's other people will bow to God's glory, and if you're his glory, then they're going to bow before you also. Another place that this word is used, ascribe to the Lord, O families of nations, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Okay, this is how we should respond to his glory. Not with complaining, not with grumbling, but with offerings and worship, praise, thanksgiving. Amen. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and... Well, this is all good stuff, so I guess I'll continue. Tremble before him, all the earth. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. See, when we start glorifying God, we're part of his glory. And then all these things happen before us instead of causing us to submit to, right? These things will happen before us, and we will be standing. Let the sea resound, and all that is in it. Let the fields be jubilant, and everything in them. Then the trees of the forest will sing. They will sing for joy before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. And that can be a good thing if you're on the right side, right? Give thanks to the Lord. He is good. His love endures forever. Cry out, save us, O God, our Savior. Gather us and deliver us from the nations, that we may give thanks to your holy name. that we may glory in your praise. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Then all the people said, Amen, and praise the Lord. Let's just kind of give you a taste of the glory that we're talking about. In the New Testament, Strong's number 1392, to render glorious, full of glory, honor, magnify. Okay, so it doesn't seem to be so well defined here, because, you know, just kind of use the word to define itself there. But it's, I think we can understand that the glory of God is only improving as we give him glory. Okay, and the word means the same as it did in the Old Testament. Okay, so how can we glorify God? Well, we're going to turn to John 15, verses 1 through 27. And I think we're going to see a step process here. We're going to see a step process in abiding in Jesus, okay? And this is Jesus speaking. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. How do we get there? Abide in Jesus. Okay? This is number one, abide in Jesus. Do we remember what the word abide means? Yes? Yeah. Wait for, endure, without yielding, withstand, bear patiently, tolerate. Okay, because if you're going to spend time with Jesus, you're going to tolerate him. You might not like everything he does and everything he says, but you're going to stick with it. Okay, there was times in the Bible where Jesus said, drink my blood and eat my flesh, and some people thought that was too much, and so they might have drifted away a bit. Hopefully they came back. So everything might not make sense to you, but there's a reason for everything he does, okay? So this is Jesus speaking to us again. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. Okay. So abiding in Christ is a good idea, because this is where we can produce fruit. See, so much of what I think about when I think about abiding is in Christ is just show up where he is. Show up where he is. Be willing to listen. Because this is a step process, you know. The first step is show up. If somebody hires you to do a job, you know, your first step is going to show up to do the work. Just show up. Okay? That's the abiding part. That's the first step of abiding. Okay? Now, you might get the second step, because as you show up, then you're going to start listening. Okay, you're going to have to start listening. You know, one of the aspects of that. So you show up for work. You're going to have to listen to your employer. Right? You're going to have to start listening to your employer, and then do what he says. Okay, so the next step in this is abide in his word. Okay, abide in him. There's the first step. Show up. Then you're going to start listening to him. And as you start learning his words, then you'll abide in his words. Okay? Okay, and verse 7 gives you a clue to this. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. This also starts the process here where we start seeing how we glorify God through our prayers. You will ask, and we're going to get more into this, okay? You will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. How is that possible? Okay, because you're abiding in His Word. You're learning what He means by what He says. And as you're knowing what He means by those words, then when you ask in His name or by His Word, the prayers are answered. Okay, and now God's going to get glory when He answers our prayers. He gets glory from that. Okay. Now the next step, as you're learning what Jesus means by the words He speaks, as you learn what Jesus means by those words He's speaking to you, then you're able to do those words, okay? So the next step, abide in His love. Verse 9, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. Well, I think we've all heard this before, right? If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. Okay, so this tells you how to abide in His love. By simply keeping His commandments. This is simple. I mean, working this out can be the work, but the principles here are very, very simple, okay? Now, what would we expect from doing these things, right? It's getting better all the time. As we follow this process, it gets better. Step 4, abide in His joy. Because, see, when we are keeping His commandments, then we're in His will, then the joy comes, right? These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you. Remember that word remain is part of the principle of abiding, that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Again, this is showing us how to abide in His love, bringing joy. Okay? Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Then we move on to the next step. We are chosen for good works. We are chosen to produce fruit. We are not chosen because of good works. We are chosen for good works. That is that's a real basic principle. You are not saved because of the good works you do. God saved you to do good works and to glorify Him and to be in fellowship with Him. Okay? So you have to be abiding in Him before the fruit can come. You're not going to get good enough and then come to God. And it'll never happen. It will never happen. Okay? Abiding first, okay? So, the good works or the fruit cannot come without the other steps. Abiding in Jesus, abiding in His Word, abiding in love, abiding in joy. Okay? You did not choose me. This is verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain. There's the word, you know, we're abiding again. That whatever you ask the Father in my name, He may give you. See, that can bring a lot of joy when you start getting your prayers answered, you know. But when you're praying in His will, according to His character and so forth, then this is going to be a benefit to the kingdom. God is concerned about the kingdom, you know. And when we get our prayers answered, you know, because we're learning what he wants and abiding in his word and abiding in his love, you know, maybe you need some kind of help in fulfilling one of those commandments that he gave you. Okay? Pray for those resources. Ask God what you think you need, right? Right? Pray for it. When he answers those prayers, you're going to get the joy, and you're going to start going full blast for the kingdom. Okay? Because God doesn't answer prayers that's not directing our steps to be for the kingdom. Okay? These things I command you. This is one of his commandments, right? That you love one another. Now, if we kind of give a example here about the person who shows up for work, right? The guy shows up for work and he starts listening to the boss. He starts understanding what the boss wants. And then he starts doing what the boss tells him to do. And then it's like, well, the boss don't even have to be there all the time. He's just always doing those things because he already understands them, right? And as that continues, he brings profit to the place he works for. And he's probably going to get a raise and a promotion, right? Now we're going to skip over, or actually backtrack, to John 14, 6 through 31. The fruit of answered prayer. Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do not know him. You do know him, and you have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, Don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I, which is another word of basically saying, I'm abiding with the Father and the Father is abiding with me. Okay? The words I say to you are not just my own, rather it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I've been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask. Okay? Well, there's those prayers again. Whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. Okay? So, it's important to pray. Let's just pray right. Right? It's important to pray. Let's pray right, because God's going to get glory from our prayers being answered. Okay? You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Man, if you just start contemplating how big God is, and how does he want to do anything small? What's big to us is going to be small to God. Okay, so you can't think big enough. So you just will start somewhere. You may ask for anything in my name. All those things are start from the simple abiding. Show up to hear the word. Show up and then start understanding what he wants and then start doing it. And as you do that, that will be just become natural. If you love me, you will obey what I command. So this is very much similar to the other scriptures that we read. So we're starting to get into the abiding in love. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. The Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be with you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. In other words, we're abiding in Christ through the knowledge of the, you know, that the Holy Spirit brings us. Spirit of Truth. On that day, you will realize that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus replied, If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. Okay, just kind of a reminder. When we started off here, Philip was saying, Oh, show me the Father. Okay? Now, when we are doing what Jesus did, and that's we start abiding in Jesus and him in us, then that may be the only Jesus the world sees. And they might come up to you, show me God. Show me whoever, right? That's what they want some kind of miraculous sign or whatever. But we will show God to the world by our walk. By our walk, okay? It may be the only thing, right, that's going to give the world hope is the way that we walk in no matter what kind of times we walk in, okay? So these things, when Jesus said that we will be doing the things that he did and greater, then that is part of it. You know, this is for the benefit of those who will come to him. If they can't see it in some form, they simply won't know. We're the only ones that can tell them. Tell them and show them. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. You heard me say, I'm going away and coming back to you. If you love me, you would be glad I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. So we have a great salvation. We've got it made. We've got every spiritual blessing you can imagine. We have what Jesus is talking about, right? I have told you before. I have told you now before it happens so that when it does happen, you will believe. I will not speak with you much longer, for the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold on me, but the world must learn that I love the Father and that I do exactly what my Father has commanded me. Come now, let us leave. And I'm going to end with 1 John chapter 2, verses 21 through 29. I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is the Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Therefore, let that abide in you which you heard in the beginning. Again, abiding. If even an angel shows up and gives you another gospel, right, let him be accursed. You don't care where it comes from. You don't care where it comes from. If you've heard it from the beginning, abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised us, eternal life. Eternal life is defined in the Bible as to know the one who was sent and the one who sent him. You know, eternal life doesn't mean you exist forever. The definition is knowing him, knowing the true God. These things I have written to you concerning those who try to deceive you. But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things that is true, and it is not a lie, and just it has taught you, you will abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. You will know them by their fruit. Right? We just thank you, Lord, that you help us in the application, whatever you've taught us today. And we just thank you for your word, not falling to the ground, but bringing forth more fruit in us. Amen.
Thank you, Patrick. That's good stuff there. Well, hallelujah. We've got an enormously huge group here tonight, but I think we could probably find room in here to come together for a little bit of prayer.